order. Carla, would you please call the roll?
Fish.
Here.
Fritz.
Here.
Saltzman.
Here.
Novick.
Here.
Hales.
Before I ask the clerk to read the matter at hand, I have a little script I'm going to read. Mayor Hales is out of the country and sends his regrets, and as the president of the council, I have the honor of chairing the committee. Purpose of council meetings is the orderly consideration of the public's business. Preservation of order and decorum is necessary for due consideration of matters before the council. The public is welcome to attend council meetings, and we welcome everyone here who's here today. During the meetings, there will be time-limited opportunities for public comment on the agenda item. That doesn't apply. We ask you to confine your comments to the matter before for us this afternoon. All you have to do is put your name in the record. You don't need your address. And for those of you who've testified in Salem, you do not have to address any member of the council as you make your comments. If you're a lobbyist, please disclose that information at the start of your testimony. If you are here representing an organization, please disclose that as well. Because we have, I'm told, 30 or more people here who want to testify, each community member this afternoon will be given 2 minutes to speak in front of the council. And there's a light and a buzzer that goes off as you get close to the end, and at 2 minutes it starts flashing like crazy, and you'll be asked to stop. And the reason we ask you to honor the time limits is that we want to be able to make sure that we can hear from everybody that's here. And if you go over the allotted time, it might prevent someone from testifying. If you have a handout with you today, and probably some of you do, please give the handout to Carla, our council clerk, and she will distribute them to the council and make sure it's a formal part of the record. And by the way, if you want your written testimony to be part of the record, you're free to email it to us, and we'll make sure it goes into the record. Council rules of procedures are designed to maintain public order and to assure that council deliberations proceed efficiently and that all those who participate have a chance to be heard. Conduct that disrupts the meeting, for example, shouting during someone's testimony or interrupting testimony or deliberation, simply cannot be permitted. We'd ask that you show your support or your displeasure with your hands, but not your words. And this is technically constitutes a warning that anyone disrupting this proceeding may be asked to leave. With that, I'd like to ask Carla if she could read the sole time-certain item that we'll be taking up this afternoon.
Item 141, vacate a portion of North Lombard Street between North Richmond Avenue and North Charleston Avenue, subject to certain conditions and reservations.
Commissioner Steve Novick.
Thank you, Mr. President. Before I ask Kurt Kruger and Lance Lindahl and Teresa Montalvo from PBOT to begin a presentation explaining the rationale behind this vacation, I want to thank the architect of the project associated with vacation and the community members who are joining us here today. Alan Jones, the architect, Fareed Bolori, the property owner, Lindsay Jensen from St. John's Main Street, Seamus Linsky, vice chair of the St. John's Neighborhood Association, Barbara Quinn from Friends of Baltimore Woods, and John Tepley, who I believe is in the audience representing Save Ivy Island. Thank you, everyone, for taking the time to educate the council on the street vacation proposal. And again, I want to thank PBOT staff, Kurt, Lance, and Teresa for their work, and I'd like to ask them up to give their presentation.
Good afternoon. My name is Lance Lindahl, PBOT right-of-way acquisition. Before you today is a proposal to vacate 5,005 square feet of North Lombard Street. This street vacation was initiated by the Bureau of Transportation on behalf of property owner St. John 5 LLC and its owner, Mr. Fareed Bolori. A mixed-use commercial development with apartments will be constructed on their parcels to the north. All of the right-of-way being vacated will revert back to them and will become taxable property. This project includes 103 market-rate apartment units and 20,000 square feet of ground floor, retail, and office space. A total of 89 parking spots will be constructed, with all but 13 of these located underground. The project also includes 126 bike parking stalls, and two formal pedestrian plazas with a total of 9,535 square feet that will be constructed at the developer's expense and open for public use. The existing landscape area at this intersection known as Ivy Island will be removed in order to make room for the reconfigured North Lombard Street. A new formal pedestrian plaza of comparable size will be built within the remaining public right-of-way, and that's located to the northeast of the current Ivy Island. The existing St. John's Gateway sign will be relocated to this new plaza. Approval of this vacation will support a number of safety improvements at this intersection. PBOT, ODOT, and the developer have worked together to redesign this segment of street so that it's safer for all modes of traffic. On November 17th of last year, the Planning and Sustainability Commission held a public hearing and voted unanimously to support the vacation. The commission added a condition of approval that a tree mitigation plan be completed and forwarded to the urban forester for review. This condition has been met. 9 black locust trees with a total of 77 caliper inches are currently located within Ivy Island, and these will be removed during construction. Per urban forestry, new street trees being added will satisfy all Title 11 density requirements for tree planting. At this point, I'd like to turn the pedestrian over to Kirk Kruger from PBOT Development Review.
Good afternoon, City Council, President Fish. It's important that I present a little bit of history for this context, both the conversations.
Of course, we know who you are, but please put your name in the record.
All right. Kirk Kruger with Portland Bureau of Transportation. I want to set a little context of why we got here, how we got here today, and then walk the council through a little bit of legislative history that this council has with St. John. So if you'll bear with me, I want to thank the architect and development team that has been overly cooperative with us for over a year. This project came to us, and I'll give you a site plan to let you start orient yourself with the area. This applicant approached the city with a development application just about a year ago. One of my new staff, Teresa Montalvo, started her review of that, came across the St. John's Lombard plan and weighed that project versus what was before us today and identified that there was a designated public improvement project that was called for as part of the Lombard plan. And that included a pedestrian improvement, a pedestrian safety improvement, potential public plaza, and removal of a slip lane through St. John's off of North Lombard. So we discussed that internally, decided it would be advantageous to at least call the developer in, have a meeting with the developer, and suggest would they be willing to slow their project down, or essentially almost stop it, while we looked at whether a street vacation was possible. Developer went back, looked things over, came back to us, and said, I think we're supportive of this. There's a public benefit here. We think this would be a good move for us to make. Knowing that they were supportive, we thought the next appropriate thing would be to reach out to the neighborhood and Main Street and Business District. So we invited them in, and in your packet presentation that I've handed out is a sign-in sheet from that meeting in last March. There was support there. The applicant continued to work back and forth with the neighborhood and Business District, gaining additional support as the project design evolved. Concurrently, we ran the street vacation with the applicant through the city's process that led us here today. So what I wanted to do was walk you through a few elements of the St. John Lombard plan to see that this wasn't just a crazy idea of PBOT looking for a developer to fix a traffic safety problem. There was an intentional plan that was laid out that was many exhaustive hours of neighborhood involvement in putting this plan together that ultimately came to City Council in 2004. I know it may be difficult to read this, but essentially this is the plan summary for the Lombard plan. And one of the things it identified, item number 2, was balancing some transportation improvements. I'll read from that. It says, balanced transportation improvements designed to improve circulation and safety of pedestrians, bicyclists, vehicles, and transit users. The improvements emphasize a better pedestrian environment while facilitating traffic flow and freight movement in a way that furthers the area's livability. This is just an outline describing the St. John's process to adopt this plan. This came to the Planning Commission. Before it was the Planning and Sustainability Commission, approximately 5 times. It went to the Portland Design Commission and ultimately came to City Council for a vote.
What year was that?
2004. This intersection was specifically studied, analyzed in that plan. There were 3 alternatives. I'll present all 3 just briefly. But the preferred plan is essentially what you'll see today from the developer. It was closing the slip lane, developing a plaza, making an intersection improvement, and making it safe for pedestrians. And this was identified as the preferred option, as it was the most safe improvement from a pedestrian standpoint. 2 additional alternatives were considered. And I won't dwell on this, but I just want to mention that in the language that you can't quite read at the bottom of each of those exhibits describes that these alternatives are not as safe for the pedestrian as preferred alternative one. There was still a concern about pedestrian safety in those two plans. Further into that St. John's Lombard plan, it talks about transportation actions and the timing that would result moving forward. Obviously, you guys are aware of PBOT's financial struggles and limited dollars to move capital projects forward, but at the time it was identified that this intersection improvement would occur within 5 years of adoption. That would have been approximately 2009. Again, here's additional language that talks about implementing tools for the specific. I won't read from this, but it again describes the importance of making these pedestrian improvements and maintaining orderly flow in the area. Real quickly, this project also went through the City of Portland's Bureau of Development Services design review process. This was a Type 2 application. It was a staff review. Notice went out to the neighborhood. There was a reason for a second notice that went out later last summer. It went through the design process, comment period was opened, the site was posted, notification went out to property owners surrounding the area as well as the required neighborhood and district coalition and business district. So that's essentially my presentation. I'm happy to take questions now. There will be questions that will certainly arise from testimony today. But I, again, want to reiterate that this developer, every time a question had come up or a new ask came forward, including a new signal reconstruction, as we discussed this with ODOT, the applicant has said yes, yes, and yes. And I can tell you in my day-to-day operations, that is a rare thing that we see, that much of a willingness from a developer to stall a project and continue to accept asks of the city.
Kurt, we have about 30 or so people that want to testify. I understand we have another panel. My intent is to have us keep a running list of questions that come up and then ask you and your team to come back at the end of the testimony to answer questions of the council.
Thank you.
Commissioner Novick? Okay. Dan?
You had on that last slide, you had appeal in parentheses Multnomah County. What does that mean?
And the applicant can talk to this a little more than I probably can, but there was some issues around shared parking with the library adjacent to the site, and so that issue had not been worked out and resolved, and unfortunately appeal was filed until that okay. issue was resolved.
Okay. Thank you.
Can we talk elaborate a little bit on the pedestrian safety issues you see with the current configuration?
Certainly. I can say in full disclosure, the City of Portland, in today's way of designing streets, would never design an intersection like this today. This was a slip lane that had a streetcar component many, many years ago, but essentially it is a slip lane off of a state highway, a Lombard. There is no safe pedestrian crossing across that side of Lombard if you were a pedestrian continuing along Ivy Island across the street to the north and along Lombard. You're exposed to vehicles that may exit Lombard at whatever speed they may be at Lombard because they're not controlled at an intersection. So this proposal actually removes that slip lane and forces pedestrians to remain on a designated built sidewalk to an intersection with a controlled signalization that makes it safe for pedestrians to cross.
Thank you.
Could you just define what a slip lane is?
How would I describe
this? Is it a shortcut?
It's almost like an off-ramp. I hate to kind of compare it to if you were on I-5 South and wanted to take an exit off to 217 or any other interstate avenue. That's what you would do is you take an off-ramp exit. That's the way this functioned. It's actually should importantly note that James John Elementary School is just immediately adjacent to this site. Vehicles that leave Lombard continue on past the slip lane across the intersection before they reach a stopping point for pedestrians to cross.
Okay, thanks.
Thank you.
I have a question about the planning sustainability recommendation regarding withdrawing the northeastern portion of the vacation area from the proposal. Could you show us on that map what was meant by that? What was the previous proposal?
Again, probably
describe it.
Maybe better described from the applicant. There were some private negotiations that were occurring. So there was originally two street vacations proposed with this application. There was an adjacent property who was not part of the vacation today, who would have likely been the beneficiary of some of this land reverting back to them. In all of our years of doing street vacations, it's usually very clear who would retain or where the property would return once it's vacated. In a lot of hours of research, both in our right-of-way section and with the county, we could not quite definitively determine who would get what piece of land back. And so there was some negotiations. There was a private sign that was in this right-of-way that were part of a negotiation, and that negotiation fell apart as this project moved to the Planning and Sustainability Commission. So it was in the best interest to withdraw that piece of the application and let it remain in right-of-way.
Just not clear which bit was withdrawn.
It's a triangular area on the right-hand side of the project there on the west versus the east.
Is that on Exhibit 3, the second triangular shape?
We actually didn't call it out. If you can see the cursor on here, it's essentially in this area in here.
Yeah, so that one is
vegetated area.
That will still remain as right-of-way.
Yep.
And is there some kind of a covenant? Is there anything that to restrict that the vacated area will be a plaza rather than be covered with building?
So they could not, they would have to apply for a permit to build a building in the right-of-way, which we would not approve.
But in the vacated part, it's not right-of-way anymore.
Correct. So
in that, is there anything to stop a building being built or the applicant from changing the footprint of their proposed building to now take advantage of the vacated area? How do we know we're going to get a plaza, in other words?
I think you'll see that in the development proposal that's going to come alongside this. They've got exhibits showing the public plaza. It was conditioned as part of the design review application, so we've got the tools necessary to implement the plaza.
So it doesn't need to be a condition. Well, wait a minute, though. Supposing they then withdrew that plan completely and they've got their street vacation, they come back with a different plan that's got building all the way to the edge.
They would have to go back through and amend their design review approval right now, because that design review approval is contingent.
Right, but at that point, we would have given away the right-of-way, right? Is there a way for us to condition the street vacation on it remaining plaza rather than building?
May I take that question back and think on that as we're taking testimony?
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Dave?
Thank you. I believe the first presentation of invited testimony is from the architect, Alan Jones.
Hi, Alan Jones, Jones Architecture.
Reed Bullurit, owner developer.
Christy White, land use attorney for the developer.
Go ahead and start with your introduction.
I want to thank you for your time. We applied for an early assistance about a year ago, and original plan did not include any vacation. And then the city approached us and asking if we are willing to listen to the St. John's Lombard plan and redesigning basically the entire design that we had earlier on. After thoughtful consideration, we decided that that's a good idea, and we decided to go with the vacation. We went to the drawing board, and the new design that you see is what we have come up with. Working with PBOT and the City of Portland for over a year, we considered all the public and the safety improvements that this project is going to bring to the neighborhood. And you might ask yourself, why would the developer want to go through all the headache of vacation and postponing a project for a year? It makes our project a better project. It helps the neighborhood, and I'm not your typical developer who builds and turns it around and walks away. So we took a lot of pride in this project, and I think it's going to do really well. We had numerous meetings with the Neighborhood Association and also with the Business Association. Numerous meetings, I think we had a total of 4 meetings. A lot of people came in, they gave us great ideas, and we tried to incorporate those ideas into our plan as best as possible. We have letter of supports from the Business Association and also from the Neighborhood Association. And all the cost is going to be paid by me, if you will. And that's pretty much what I would like to say.
Kurt and Lance did a great job showing you the site, but on your screen,
could you put your name in the record, sir?
Alan Jones, Jones Architecture. there's a site map or a context map, an aerial photo on your screen. The site is indicated, as Kurt and Lant mentions, it's right at the intersection where Highway 30, or Lombard Way, as it's also known, meets Lombard Street of downtown. So it really is a gateway site. It's kind of the entrance into St. John's. Also noted on this slide, we've labeled James John Elementary School, and Multnomah County Library is directly to the north. As Kurt and Lance mentioned, we are implementing a portion of the St. John's Lombard Plan. This intersection has three objectives to it that we took directly out of the St. John's Lombard Plan. The first objective is a stronger gateway to the business district. Number two is to calm traffic. And three is to enhance safety for children and pedestrians crossing Lombard. So there's two key pieces to that. There's a public space piece, which are the plazas that we talked about, the plaza that's on the corner, and then the secondary plaza that will be built under the encroachment permit. Then there's the public safety features, which are the reorganization of the intersection, which involves four new traffic signals and new pedestrian crossings. Took a couple of quotes here directly out of the Lombard Plan that we think really applies to this. As was mentioned, this was the traffic island was from an earlier era where it was more of an auto-centric world, so to speak. It really was a slip lane. It really is a slip lane. It is like a highway spur. It's about the automobile, buses, and trucks leaving the highway as they enter into St. John's. What the St. John's Lombard Plan aimed to do was to extend the pedestrian district all the way to Highway 30, to build a stronger sidewalk system and to put plazas on the corner and to mark the gateway into St. John's. So a couple of quotes here are, you know, pedestrian-oriented retail centers linked by tree-lined sidewalks featuring attractive housing land uses that serve the peninsula. It's also a place where people are comfortable walking on streets and spending time in public spaces. Its appealing sidewalk environment is accentuated by small community gathering spaces, an array of retailers, restaurants, and services. And at the bottom here, we understand that one of Mayor Hale's priorities is to develop what he calls complete neighborhoods. So we think that implementing this piece of the St. John's Lombard Plan is an opportunity to do that. It really completes St. John's and extends the district to the east all the way to Highway 30 and makes a strong entrance into St. John's, increases public safety, rebuilds the neighborhood, and provides an opportunity for public space. So this slide shows the vacated area. As Lance mentioned, it's 5,005 square feet. So I'll talk about some of the specific safety features first. As you can see, the slip lane has arrows that show the slip lane or the highway spur that come westbound off of Lombard Way or the highway into St. John's. And currently, traffic leaves St. John's eastbound heading one way out of St. John's back to the highway. The slip lane and that one-way eastbound are separated by a traffic island. What the vacation would allow is that traffic island to be relocated, pushed to the north, and attached to the block that's to the north so that we can make a public plaza on the corner and we can rebuild the intersection and put in pedestrian crossings. So there's two diagrams here. The diagram on the left these are traffic diagrams. The diagram on the left shows there's red boxes on these diagrams that indicate intersections or the traffic signals. In the existing condition, the first intersection that you come to is west of James John Elementary School. So cars, buses, and trucks that are leaving Lombard Way or the highway pass by this site through the slip lane. They speed past James John Elementary School before they come to any kind of traffic slowing measures whatsoever. On the right is the proposed plan with the rebuilt intersection with a dedicated right-hand turn lane, a new bike lane, and pedestrian crossing. So fast-moving traffic stops at the new intersection and then moves in a slow rate of speed past the site as it enters St. John's and past the elementary school. I have three photos here that were taken recently, and these are taken about 3 p.m. after school gets out at Jamestown Elementary School. This first image is a pedestrian that's peeking around the slip lane trying to evaluate whether he has time to dash across the street between cars because there are no pedestrian crossings whatsoever at this point. This slide shows a father and a daughter leaving the elementary school, heading across Lombard. And if you look behind the bus, there's another pedestrian back there with a red arrow over him that's also kind of bobbing and weaving through traffic, through vehicles that are going in four different directions here, with no pedestrian crossings. And a mother and a daughter running across the intersection, and then the green arrows show cars moving in three different directions. So the new traffic, or the new intersection, will have the arms that are indicated in red are new traffic safety poles that have new traffic heads on them. That all of the expense of this is at Mr. Bellari's expense, and it's quite an expensive endeavor, but putting up new traffic signals on all four poles. In addition to that, there's new crosswalks that cross over both the highway and Lombard Street, new pedestrian poles with buttons that the pedestrians can push to cross the streets. So next I'll talk about the public space. This is the ground story or the site plan for the project. It is a mixed-use building. It is a four-story building. The ground story has approximately 20,000 square feet of flexible space in it. It's broken down into small increments that could be used by local retailers and restaurants and cafes. There's also some opportunities for some office space. But the important thing about this slide is it shows the three plazas. There's a plaza on the corner, which we've labeled Plaza 1, where the building is pulled back. The building's been broken down into three modules, so it's not a big monolithic building. It's broken down into individual bays. Those bays pull back at different depths from the sidewalk in order to make Plaza 1. Plaza 2 is the area that was described as the right-of-way encroachment development. Courtyard number 3 is on private property. When we went back to the drawing board originally, the building was a completely different shape configuration. We completely reconfigured the building to open up to these plazas, and we created this courtyard plaza that opens up to Plaza 2. In total, there's 9,500 square feet of new plaza area, completely open to the public, no barriers to entry whatsoever. That's nearly twice the area of the vacation area.
Sir, off this proposed site plan,
where
is the access to the parking stalls?
So on the top left, which would be the north corner off North Charleston, there's an area there in yellow, which is a ramp to the basement. So we worked closely. Kittleson got involved. We look at the trip generation and make sure that location would be okay. Charleston is the side of the project that has it's the furthest away from the public streets and that was identified as the best place for a driveway.
So before we move from that slide, Plaza 2 is still public right-of-way, right?
Correct.
So what is the plaza area without Plaza 2?
I have a slide that I can flip to next that'll show you that. So,
okay, and well, just before you flip to it, where do you envision the Welcome to St. John's sign going?
On Plaza 2. So the thought, we've been working closely with the Boosters here, the group that owns the sign. The thought being that currently the St. John's sign is on the traffic island, so kind of after you arrive in St. John's. The great thing about this opportunity is that the St. John's sign comes prior to the intersection on that plaza. So it will be in the right-of-way on Plaza 2. So here's a slide that shows you a little bit more about Plaza 1. Before I start here, I'll say that we had a long dialogue and worked really closely with Jeff Mitchum, who was the planner on this project for BDS. And there was a long discussion about how large this plaza should be. And in the CS zone, 50% of the building is required to be directly on the sidewalk. So we only have one-third of the building on the sidewalk, so we had to seek a modification to push the building back in order to create this plaza, which obviously was a good modification to get. But there was a discussion just about how far the building should be pushed back. And currently, what was proposed and what was approved is 40 feet from the curb at the corner, and then it steps down at the next module to 28 feet.
How wide is the sidewalk?
Sidewalk's 12. So this plaza, not including the sidewalk, is 3,190 square feet. This is a rendering of Plaza 1 from the intersection. You'll see that we're showing a piece of public art. There's room for public art on the corner. We've also have benches and planters that will help buffer, because there is a lot of traffic on Highway 30 and at Lombard at this point. And, the thought is that in order to make pedestrians comfortable on the plaza, that we need a little bit of buffering. So there's concrete planters with benches on them. Plaza number two in the courtyard. Plaza number two is the area that's the right-of-way encroachment. That's 2,815 square feet. The courtyard plaza, which is entirely on private property but is completely open for the public to use, is 3,500 square feet. We have four meetings, as Fareed mentioned, with the neighborhood. Well, two meetings with the neighborhood associations and two meetings with Main Street, and there was a lot of discussion about the design of these plazas. What was finally concluded is that there was a desire to have this be as flexible as possible so that ideally there would not be a lot of built pieces in the middle of the plaza, that it could be used as a Saturday market or other things. So we've kind of buffered the perimeter of it with trees and planters and benches in order to buffer the street, but left the center of it as open as possible. Here's a rendering of Plaza 2 and the courtyard showing one potential use with a farmer's market type tents. As was mentioned, there was a tree mitigation plan that the Urban Forestry looked at and approved. There are a total of 9 trees on the traffic island, as Lance mentioned. There are black locusts, total of 77 caliper inches. We're proposing to put back 32 trees. We have as many trees as possible. We've worked with PDOT and ODOT to put as many street trees as possible around the site, as well as a lot of new trees in the plazas and in the parking lot. So that wraps it up. This rendering shows the new St. John's, the location for the new St. John's sign in that plaza.
I'm just curious. You mentioned in one of the earlier slides that the developer was going to put some, quote, public art.
Yeah,
we tend to think of public art as art that the Regional Arts and Culture Council or somebody places. Are you referring to just a piece of art that he's going to acquire and place in a public right-of-way?
Yeah, we're not proposing to go through the RAC process on this. We're proposing to put a piece of art in that area.
And you have a restaurant penciled in there as a potential use in the mixed use. Is it part of your plan to potentially allow them to have outdoor space, outdoor seating in the summer?
We think it would be ideal for the public to coexist with restaurant use on that plaza. The plaza is large enough to have at least one line of tables that are up close to the building. We think that the building can activate the plaza and the sidewalk can activate the plaza as well, and that it all would work together. But the intent is, yes, that there hopefully would be some room out in that space for a few tables and chairs for the restaurants.
And does this rendering, which you've given to us, does this reflect decisions which the developers made about the kind of brick, the color schemes, and the design? I mean,
This is what's been approved by design review. So there are three colors of brick on the building. It's a very high quality building with nice materials. It's all brick, nice windows, nice storefront.
Colleagues, questions? Steve, do we have another panel?
We do, but before that, Christy, I have to tell you that Kurt Kruger wants to discuss with you a potential amendment to the ordinance in order to address Commissioner Fritz's concern. And I hope that you could reach agreement on such a thing.
Yeah, no objection at
before
all.
Before we, oh, okay.
Yeah.
You already know what it is?
I'm imagining that what you want to do is some extra condition that ensures that it retains plaza.
Okay, so if the
no
two
objection.
Of you could, ideally, if the two of you could agree on some language before we get through the invited testimony, so we can put the amendment on the table before we get to public testimony.
Sure.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
So the next panel is Lindsay Jensen, Seamus Linsky, and Barbara Quinn.
Barbara, if you come to one more hearing this week.
I was just saying
you
that.
Get a door prize.
I know. This is 2 days in a row.
She's weird. A professional.
Who's it's first?
Weird.
Go ahead. I'll go first. My name is Lindsay Jensen. I'm the executive director for St. John's Main Street. And we are obviously here to show our support for the street vacation of the traffic berm. We are intimately connected to this space because our office is located at the corner of Lombard and Charleston, and because we've also been the primary drivers behind the revitalization efforts of this island. Daily, I count the number of honks and sounds of screeching tires outside of our office. We're so excited to have safe crossings for our volunteers and for our staff. I know that our neighbors, that those who are directly connected to the traffic island, also feel the same way. They want the traffic berm gone. The berm is an auto-centric gateway to our business district, and it was designed in the 70s, an era that valued cars and automobiles. It does not promote walkability and invites cars to barrel into our downtown business district at dangerous speeds. We have a unique opportunity for a private developer to invest in our neighborhood and to create a vibrant, active, and pedestrian-centric gateway that features usable public space, trees and native plants, and our iconic St. John's Marquee. The reconfiguration would enliven our side of the business district, which currently feels a little dead, quite honestly, with fewer businesses, less activity, and fast-moving traffic. I just don't see how keeping the traffic berm would address these issues and enliven that space. This is such a great opportunity to fulfill the city's vision of creating complete neighborhoods and to enhance our Main Street area. So much planning and time and thoughtful consideration has gone into reimagining this intersection. Between the time spent on the Lombard plan and recent community meetings where the developer met and sought input from the community, there has been ample opportunities to weigh in. My heart slightly sinks, thinking about how much energy has gone into fighting this proposal, particularly in the 11th hour. I appreciate the passion and creativity, but would much rather see our neighborhood up in arms about affordable housing, something that would directly combat displacement in St. John's. This development is positioned in the URA and could qualify for the new multi-program at the Housing Bureau. If you as a council are going to push back or leverage this vacation for additional community benefits, I would urge you to put affordable housing at the top of that agenda.
Commissioner Sulston's eyes light up.
Thank you very much.
Good afternoon. Thank you. Thank you for having me here. My name is Barbara Quinn. I'm an activist in St. John's, long time. Actually, I worked on the St. John's plan in 2004. That was 3 long years of many, many hours planning. And the reason we worked on that so hard was because we wanted to avoid conflict in the future and have a vision that we could develop in the future in a way that St. John's neighbors would like. And prime among our considerations was the development of a pedestrian district, a pleasant, safe place for people to walk and visit shops and see into the corridor. And the reason that we came up and suggested the removal of the blind curb was mainly for safety, but also a reconfiguration that would allow drivers to see into the corridor and actually see our shops and help the pedestrian district develop. So this plan was fully vetted in North Portland among all the neighborhood association, all the existing business associations, including the St. John's Boosters, who had a representative at our meetings. There is no way to address pedestrian safety with this blind curb without its removal. There just isn't a good way to make a blind curb safe. People just can't see those people crossing until they're 20 feet away from them, and they're zooming off of that main corridor at a pretty high rate of speed. So safety is the first and most important characteristic of a pedestrian district. Beauty and design don't count as high as safety, and we need that. So the adjacent school makes it even more important. If St. John's is going to become more dense, density should be located in the town center to help the shops. That is one of the things that came up during the plan, is that we don't quite have enough density to support an 11-block Main Street. So removal of Ivy Island should not become an icon for gentrification. Gentrification is a huge and important issue in our neighborhood that needs to be addressed. But this is about safety, and this is about a development that fits the St. John's plan. I'm thrilled because I think the plazas are going to be a real plus for the neighborhood. They are going to look good. I think there's a lot of interest in eating outside near the shops now that didn't happen 10 years ago. There was nobody who wanted to be outside in St. John's 10 or 15 years ago. So it's a really positive thing for us. The developer and architect did inquire about providing some native trees for the St. John or the Baltimore Wood Corridor in St. John's, and it turns out our partners said that we're maxed out. So they at least tried to reach out to us, and we appreciated that. Once again, I just really feel that if we could get past the polarizing language here, that it's possible there could be some kind of discussion and communication, this project could possibly become better if both sides could talk to each other. without the polarizing language and a discussion with the developer, I think some of the qualities that people really like about the island could possibly be moved to these plazas. And I think that would be a real plus. And things like that have happened in the past in St. John's. It has happened, and sometimes things end up being better. So that's my hope for this project, that this energy will move it forward in a better way.
Thank you very much. Welcome.
My name is Seamus Linsky, and I'm involved in a lot of groups in St. John's, including the vice chair of the Neighborhood Association. So I'm here today to urge City Council to approve the street vacation at North Lombard and North Richmond. There's been a deep history of public outreach and public involvement in this project, first with the original St. John's Lombard plan that was years and hours of public time, volunteer time. And these are the safety improvements that are called for in the St. John's Lombard plan. This is the preferred treatment of that intersection. The safety improvements here are consistent with City Council's own Vision Zero. The developer presented to the Neighborhood Association this specific design two times. He presented with groups organized by Main Street two times. It's been discussed and discussed and discussed. The community members in attendance showed overwhelming support for the proposed intersection improvements. The developers have been very cooperative and open to feedback. And you know, the bonus here, of course, is that the developer is going to pay for these improvements, so it's saving the taxpayers a lot of money. I understand that those in opposition to the street vacation are anxious about growth in St. John's, about rising rent, home prices, about traffic safety and traffic congestion. I share those anxieties, but I have observed that a lot of the language that's against this specific street vacation for this traffic island get confused with the sort of anti-development and anxieties of large buildings and increased traffic. They're separate issues. So again, I'd like to urge City Council to approve the street vacation so that the neighborhood could focus on those more important issues. Thank you.
Is that your last panel?
Yes, it is.
Commissioner Novick, thank you all. I've just conferred with your PBOT reps. They are in the process of wordsmithing some language. They're confident they will get an amendment. They would like a little extra time to get the wordsmithing. So what I'm going to suggest is we will effectively treat the amendment as being on the table. So there's the proposal that we will be taking up is to have a covenant. There's some legal language which is being worked out. If anyone would like to testify about whether they like that idea of some restrictive covenant on the plaza, please address that item. And when the amendment's drafted, we'll bring it forward this afternoon for a consideration.
And that's okay with the city attorney to approach it
yes.
that way?
Thank you. Carla, how many people have signed up?
I think we have 27 left now.
Okay. 27. We're going to ask everyone to try to stay within 2 minutes. And for those of you who may be first-time testifiers, I know we have some people here who have been here before, I just want to say that this council is very interested in what you have to say. We rarely make a decision based on, you know, the fact that 20, 30 people say the same thing, the identical thing. So what we would encourage you to do is, if you have a strong view one way or another, state it. If there's something new that you want us to think about or you want to highlight, you're free to testify to anything you want. But in the time we have together, we'd like to hear as many interesting and different ideas that you have to say. But you'll have a full 2 minutes. And we're going to call people up in groups of three. And let's take our first three.
First three, please come on up, are Peter Brow, Betsy Vallee, and Barbara Babs Adamski. And they'll be followed by Kenchen Gokal, Heather Bilyeu, and Chloe Frisella.
Welcome. For those who may not have testified before, at 30 seconds, you'll get one beep as a warning, and at 2 minutes, the beeper will start going off. Then there's a clock on the block in front of you.
Who would like to start? Sir, you look teed up with the boards. Why don't you
okay.
kick us off?
Yes. Hello. My name is Peter Brown. I'm a resident of St. John's, and I'm here to speak against the proposed vacation of Ivy Island. The first thing I'd like to speak to is what I perceive to be a lack of public awareness that Ivy Island may be given away and developed. In my very limited free time, I've gone door-to-door in my neighborhood asking whether people would like to sign a petition to preserve Ivy Island. I talked to well over 100 people. Overwhelmingly, people have no idea that the public land might be given away. Since the demolition of the at the adjacent corner, many folks have some idea that development is coming. Most don't know a four-story building is going to be built. None of them know that if Ivy Island is vacated, the proposed four-story building is going to move on to and occupy much of Ivy Island, what is now public green space. At that point, they usually grab the signature petition out of my hand so they can sign immediately. As a consequence of this experience, I would like to say that the endorsement for this project of St. John's Main Street and Neighborhood Association is not representative of the community of St. John's. The 15,000 or so people who have are immediately affected by the loss of Ivy Island. It's more the 10-person board of the Neighborhood Association that has decided to send a letter supporting the proposed vacation. The second point I'd like to mention is how the St. John's Lombard Plan has been used to justify the vacation of Ivy Island. The Lombard Plan was developed with extensive input from the St. John's community as well as the city. The point I would like to make is how different the proposed Valuri development is from the Lombard Plan. So I can just kind of hold these up. The only real similarity is that the slip lane would be removed. If you look at the image from the Lombard Plan and the proposed Valuri Plan, they are strikingly different. The Lombard Plan envisions a large open plaza with ample tree cover and easy pedestrian access from east to west. Specifically mentioned in the Lombard Plan are improved sight lines into the commercial core and pedestrian walkability. The proposed building would cut off the sight lines that currently exist into the commercial core and make east-west pedestrian use more difficult. I urge the council to vote no on the proposed vacation of Ivy Island. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, sir. Welcome, and I may just say I like your T-shirt.
Thank you.
Oh, I'm sorry, I was saying I like your T-shirt, too.
But she liked hers better. Okay, very good.
I like to volunteer with DePave, so I was just...
Yes. Ivy Island is a special green place for people in St. John's. It's named for the ground cover of English ivy that once covered it before University of Portland students and local citizens re-landscaped it with native bobs and Oregon grape, but no ivy. Most of, importantly, there are nine mature trees, not native trees, but black locusts with their frilly leaves that allow sun to easily filter through. The leaves follow the island decomposed, and there's no cleanup problem. The island is slightly hilled, not flat. Approaching it, you can see a view of the St. John's Bridge over the roof of Safeway on your left, and on your right, you can see into the heart of downtown St. John's. The island hosts one of three 45-foot Welcome to St. John's signs. They tell us about the school fundraisers and so forth. And it's easy to, they are easy to read because it's at an angle to both lanes. People need nature because it helps to heal the stress of urban hardscape. A couple of blocks from Ivy Island at St. John's Elementary School, parents, kids, and businesses worked hard to dig up large sections of blacktop in the playground and repave with the help of DePave, which the city supports, and plant native trees and bushes. I worked for Friends of Baltimore Woods for 6 years and saw hundreds of volunteers in that corridor remove non-native plants and replant and care for native ones with the guidance of Solve, also supported by the city. On Ivy Island, we already have such a slice of nature. I believe the people of St. John's will think it a poor trade to transfer public land to private developer when they see a four-story condominium in place of the island exchanged. There is talk of building a plaza, but plazas are concrete, and we already have two. I have faith that PBOT can calm traffic in the two-block area when I see in Linton, across the river, what went from 50-60-mile-an-hour traffic to 35-mile-an-hour without stoplights. If St. John's becomes more vertically developed, the value of this small piece of green open space will only increase, give us pride in the place where we live, and reminds us of the mystery of nature.
Thank you very much. Welcome.
Thank you.
Good afternoon, President Dish, Commissioner Saltzman, Fritz, and Novick. Thank you for the opportunity to speak today. My name is Babs Adamska, and I live in St. John's neighborhood. I'm testifying today in support of the vacation of the public property that's located on Lombard Street between Charleston and Richmond. I support this vacation to Fareed Valuri, specifically because of the traffic improvements that will be paid for by Mr. Valuri's development company. In crossing traffic at North Charleston at Lombard, The intersection is extremely dangerous whether you're on foot, on a bicycle, or in a car. The slip lane diminishes the sight line, and as illustrated earlier with slides, it's a very questionable thing to even attempt it at that point. Additionally, bus riders who deboard the TriMet 75 on the east side of the development at Richmond, heading south when they get off the bus, even at the beginning of that slip lane, it's angled in such a way that decisions are difficult to make for our driver who is headed west. And I have stood with auditor from the National Highway Safety Commission who's looked at that and said that that is unsafe in that circumstance as well. I understand the complexity of issues that are involved with this development, but I feel strongly that it is particularly a safety issue. I've obtained 77 signatures on my own as I stood at the corner of Charleston and Lombard. And then just before today's meeting, some other signatures were given to me that were collected by businesses in that area. Thank you for your consideration of this matter specifically as a safety issue.
Thank you very much. Thank you all. Carla, the next three.
Our Kenchen Gokhel, Heather Bilyeu, and Chloe Frisella. And they'll be followed by Donna Cohen, Joe Adamski, and Silver Boo.
Welcome. You want to kick us off?
Thank you. Hello, my name is Kanchan Gokhale, and I'm a resident of St. John's, and I'm here to testify against vacating Ivy Island. My husband and I moved to St. John's 4 years ago because we fell in love with the character, and St. John's is a complete neighborhood, is what I felt, with a gateway, a downtown, and a business district. And the downtown also has space for a beautiful farmer's market. About a month ago, I learned that there is a proposal to vacate Ivy Island and give it to the developer to extend his building into what is now a public space. What this will do is it will block the view of the main street into St. John's, and it will destroy the gateway to St. John's. When I heard this, I was really horrified. And the only way I found out about this, because I saw some people standing there with signs, there was no other announcement that I heard about this. When I learned about this, I tried to find out what prompted this, and I learned it was safety and the Lombard plan. When it comes to safety, I went and looked up this Vision Zero map that was mentioned earlier, and this intersection is there. Intersections are represented as little circles, and this one is a tiny little circle where there are so many others which are way bigger, which identify the areas which have high risk, and this circle is not even close to some of the other ones in St. John's. And also, if this was really a danger issue for safety, it hasn't warranted high enough signage in that area. And Lombard plan talks about 1 to 3 story building maintaining the identity and character of St. John's. There is no mention of giving up public space. It shows a plaza instead of building. I also went door to door, and none of the people I spoke to, except for a few, didn't even know that this was being considered, that Ivy Island would be vacated. I think if this happens, there will be a public outcry, and a lot of people who are not aware of what's going on will be really shocked if there are bulldozers on Ivy Island. So I really encourage you to vote no to give up the space and keep our identity and character. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Welcome.
Thank you. Dear City Commissioners, my name is Heather Bilyeu. I am a concerned St. John's resident. I live very close to North Lombard and North Richmond, the proposed site of the Bavlori development and vacation of public land known as Ivy Island. Some time ago, while I was a regular customer at Huck Lab, I heard the land and building were being sold and developed. I figured a new curved building would go in like Marvel 29 on the other side of town. Some months later, while eating at the local diner down the street, I heard the owner and other customers talking about how now the land was going to be given to the developer in exchange for a traffic light, and the slip lane would close and a 4-story building would go there. I was very surprised by what I heard because it was different from before. I was shocked and I did not understand why the city would give away prime real estate and block the view of the St. John's Bridge from the public and close off the entrance to our town. The piece of land is beautiful and for everyone to enjoy. By then, the Huck Lab was closed, and a lot of people in town would ask me about it because I have their stickers all over my car. I would tell them what I heard and ask them if they knew anything. Nobody I encountered knew big changes were set to happen. I met John Templey a few months back, and he let me know. I met him a few months ago, and we happened to talk about our neighborhood and the changes taking place. It was he who let me know that, in fact, it was not set in stone that the land was being given to the developer. I joined with him to help save Ivy Island. Our group held a town hall meeting to discuss the proposed development. It seemed now that safety was an issue where it had not been before. I live near and use the intersection on a daily basis. I walk, drive, and come from all directions, and I have never felt unsafe. If I truly felt it were dangerous, I would understand. The only thing I learned at the meeting was from the president of the St. John's Neighborhood Association that the city would never, never, never do any maintenance at that intersection.
Ma'am, if you could just wrap up.
Oh, sure. I do not understand why the city would refuse to do their duty and just give away our land. I cannot support this proposal.
Thank you very much. Welcome.
My name is Chloe. I'm a resident of St. John's, and I support keeping Ivy Island. St. John's is a valuable neighborhood. It's one of the things that attracts people to our city. Its small town feel and historic neighborhood, its natural places and natural spaces like Ivy Island with its mature trees. These are key elements to St. John's. From the moment a person enters the downtown St. John's, whether traveling over the historic St. John's Bridge or ushered in by the welcome sign and the foliage of Ivy Island, one feels that they are entering a community and a little piece of history. Ivy Island highlights the small town feel of St. John's business district and provides easy access. Ivy Island is a signature gateway into St. John's. This new intersection that would go in place of Ivy Island would get rid of our valued green space, and it would obstruct the view of the St. John's business district and of the bridge. This development would be a deterrent to the current feel of St. John's and has the interest of out-of-town developers in mind, more so than the people who made this neighborhood what it is. I am in favor of saving this historic green space for the good of the neighborhood and for its people. The developers might provide some people with new spaces to live for the time being, but this is our character and our history of place. It is our... It is the character of this place that brought the people to it, and that will be what makes them stay.
Well done. Thank you very much. Carla, next three.
Are Donna Cohen, Joe Adamski, and Silver Boo, and they'll be followed by Richard Tennant, Susan Tennant, and Heather Tennant.
Why don't you kick us off?
Afternoon, Council. My name is Donna Cohen, and I'm a resident of St. John's, and I'm glad to see there are four residents here who served on the stakeholder committee for the St. John's Truck Strategy Phase 2 plan. And during that process, we dealt with a lot of pedestrian safety issues, including that of a blind curve, and we need to call the slip lane what it is, which is a blind curve. I believe it's unsafe there. I am in that area regularly. I think the reconfiguration, the traffic reconfiguration is going to make the area much safer. In terms of the plaza, I, like Alan Jones's